Okay, so last week we began a certain sugya within the context of Lag BaOmer. So let me remind us a little bit of what we spoke about last week, and then we'll be able to go weiter. So we mentioned last week in the very beginning that there seems to be two sides to Lag BaOmer, two sides to the celebration. There's one side of Lag BaOmer, which is primarily a celebration of Torah Reb Shimon. The Torah of Reb Shimon, the Torah that he gleams from Rabbi Akiva, but Taras Reb Shimon. That side of Lag BaOmer is usually probably more relatable, more appreciated by those that study Primus HaTorah and Kabbalah and Mekubal and so on. That's the side of, and we saw last week that side of Lag BaOmer is primarily expressed by the first part of the story in the Gemara and Shabbos, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai leaves the cave and he meets Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, and he tells Rav Pinchas Ben Yor that now that I went through that experience of the cave, now you're going to be able, that any kasha that you have, I'm going to answer in 12 ways. So Taras Rav Shimon. 24, I'm sorry, 24.
12 before he went in the other way around.
Right? Yeah. So that was the first side. But we saw as well that there's another element to Lag BaOmer, which is a celebration of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai himself, and something that's not even Taras Rav Shimon, but it's Rav Shimon Alein. And the truth is, not only is that, I mean, you see that in the songs and just like the whole Indian of like Miron and the Chu, but in the Zohar Kaddish itself, you find Lashanas like this. For example, Idrazut is a section of the Zohar in Parshas Hazinu. So that Idrazuta was a part of the Zohar that was taught on Lag BaOmer. That was the day of the Histalkus of Rav Shimon. So there's a number of parts of that whole, of the Torah that Rav Shimon says over there, but just a couple aspects of it. Before Rav Shimon begins to speak, so he says, Omer Rav Shimon, Be'idrish gachna de kol chavrai ha ve'omri. He says, in earlier times when I shared Torah, so all the chavr would say Torah, and I was with them. In other words, every Talmud would say over Torah. Rav Shimon obviously was, you know, sort of leading the Torahs, but everyone, you know, added. But Hashta, but as Rav Shimon says, but now by Idrazuta, by the day of Lag BaOmer, Eim Anobel Chadoi, I'm the only one that's going to talk. And everyone is listening to my words above and below. Praiseworthy is my chelik today. So you see, Rav Shimon introduces the Torah of Lag BaOmer. Yes, it's Torah Rav Shimon, but not only is he saying that this is my time to speak, my time to shine, but it's Zakoh Chulki Yomidein. This is my chelik. Praiseworthy is my chelik today. Later, a little bit later on in the Zohar Kaddish, towards the end of the Idrazuta, so the Zohar quotes from Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was the Talmud of Rav Shimon that wrote the teachings of Rav Shimon. So he says Katsaya Mila Da Batsina Kadisha Batsina Ilah, that when the holy luminary, when Rav Shimon finished this particular section of the Torah, Arm Yadoi, he raised his hands, Ubacha Bachaich, and he cried and he smiled. Ba'ala Gala Mila Chada, he wanted to reveal a particular word, a particular idea. Omar, and he said, Bimila Da, it's Darna Kol Yomoi. My whole life, it's bothering me, this Torah that I want to say, but I can't. V'hashtal Yovan L'Rishus, and even now I'm not given permission to speak it out. Istakif Yosef Rochesh Besvasei. So what he did was, he said it, but he said it in a low tone that only he heard it. V'sagit Lazimden, and he bowed three times. V'yachol Barnosh L'Istakil Basrei, and when he said over that Torah, no one was able to see him, because the intensity of the Kedusha, whatever. Not even in his area, you couldn't look. V'kolshken Bey, and certainly not he himself. Omar, and after he finished saying this Torah that no one knew, but it was just he saying it, Puma Puma Dezachis L'chol Hai. He said, mouth, that's word that had zchus of saying these things. Lo'in give mabuch, you shouldn't ever stop, you should always continue. He gives his own mouth a bracha. Allah Karina V'nahar Yoytzim Eidin, upon you, it should say, V'nahar Yoytzim Eidin. And it goes on like this. Again, these are just a couple examples of what was going on by Lag BaOmer. The Rav Shimon is describing it. It's a personal experience. There was something very just personal Rav Shimon-dick about it. It wasn't just a matter of the Torah being shared. There was something else going on over here. So going back, what we mentioned last week is that this particular side of the story of the Inyan of Lag BaOmer, the Simcha of Rav Shimon Bilchadoi, the Inyan of Rav Shimon by himself, is I think Merum is in the next part of the Maisa, which is Rav Shimon goes to after interacting with Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. So the next part of the story, the Gemara says in Shabbos that he goes and he wants to do a tikkun to help out the situation. So the Gemara says that the Maisa is again very bekitzer. The Gemara says that he asks, "Is there anything that anyone needs?" So they told him that yeah, in this area, the Gemara Bavli doesn't say what the area was. The Yerushalmi in Shvius, the Yerushalmi says that this was Tveria, which is significant, as we'll see. But he says that, I guess he was in Tveria, and he asks, "Does anyone needs anything?" So he said, yeah, there's a certain highway, a certain road leading to like a straight path to the city, and there's a Suffolk, there might be dead bodies over there, there's a tradition that might be that the corpse is there, a kvarim, and some of the Kahanim can't go, they have to go around. So in order to lessen the tirch of Kahanim, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai performs a miracle and clarifies where the kvarim are, thus allowing the Kahanim to travel. That's how that's the Maisa basically in the Gemara Bavli. Now what's interesting is that there's a big difference between how the Bavli records the Maisa and how the Yerushalmi does. In the Bavli, the focus of the Tikkun is the fact that Kahanim are able to travel now well. So the group that the Rishon Merchai is trying to help out are the group of Kahanim. In the Rishalmi, it's not like that. The Rishalmi, it certainly helps Kahanim now that you know where the Kvarim are, so they don't have to go around. But in the Rishalmi says a lashon that the Tihir Rav Shimon Bar Yochai as Tveria, that this was a tikkun that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was bringing to the city of Tveria. Ad kedei kach that in the Zohar, in the Rishalmi, it quotes that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that he had a kabbal from his rabbeim that a seed of Tveria liitar, that Tveria is going to become tar, and he's zaycha to be the one to do it. So yes, it brings a tikkun for the Kahanim in particular, but it's broader than that. It's a tikkun to Tveria itself. Okay, so that needs explanation over here. Why is Yerushalmi doing that? Okay, so let's get back into it more specifically. There was another difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in terms of Rav Shimon that we saw last week, and this is where we're gonna be able to pick up where we ended off, which is as follows: Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We know that Gemara says in both Bavli and Rishalmi that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is considered to be Torah Samunasai. He's always learning Torah. Ad kedei kach, that the Mishnah says in Maseches Shabbos, and this is where the Bavli says that, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said, based on the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, that people like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaverav, if they're learning, they don't stop their learning in order to daven, they continue learning. Torah Samunasai. They'll stop their learning in order to say Kriya Shema, v'nafer davening. We saw it was interesting in the Rishalmi quotes from Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan said Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that Kigayin under there. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says about himself, people like us, he says, we don't stop learning even for Kriya Shema. So he made that it's a funny observation. It's a little bit of an observation, which is funny, which is that again the same Rabbi Yochanan in the Bavli, he's saying his own statement just about Rav Shimon, and the statement over there is, you continue your learning if you're on that madrig of learning like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but you do stop your learning for Kriya Shema. And then in Yerushalmi, he quotes B'Shem Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that you don't stop your learning, if you're on the Torah Samunasa like Rav Shimon, you don't stop your learning even for Kriya Shema. So it's a little bit of a funny thing. So what did Rav Yochanan, probably it's his statement, and it's slightly different than the statement over there that it's B'Shem Rav Yochanan. And we also mentioned, just to remind us, that the Yerushalmi brought a mimer from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to back up this statement. That just like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that he won't stop his learning even for Kriya Shema, that's like what we see from Rav Shimon elsewhere. The Rav Shimon said that if he was by Har Sinai, he would have asked Rabbanu Shlomo to make a person to have two mouths, one mouth for Torah, one mouth for everything else. Okay, so we asked the question, what type of mouth, what that tells you that you shouldn't stop your learning for Kriya Shema? You see from that statement that Torah is amazing. But okay, Lamaisa, there's a mitzvah called Krishma. So, and what are we supposed to do? You can't be mekayim it through someone else. So, where in that statement do you see this thing that you don't stop your learning for Krishma? So, that's a neat explanation. Okay, so let's go back. What we mentioned last week was the following thing: that basically there are two sides to Yiddishkeit. There are two sides to Yiddishkeit. There is what would seem to be the goal of Yiddishkeit, and then there's the things that you sort of have to take care of in order to get to that goal. What's the goal? What's the, where do you want to be? So, to say it simply, the goal is, the place that you want to be is in a place of Dveikus, a place of oneness with the Rabbanu Shalom. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. In that place of Dveikus and Elikus, in the place of Ruchnias. But Lamaisa, in order for that to happen, then you have to clean up any messes. You have to go through a process that we mentioned last week, the Avoid of Berurim, of sifting, of clarifying, of answering kashas, of rescuing captives, of redeeming sparks. All that avoida, which is down here in this world, which is a difficult avoida, we don't have the luxury of experiencing dveikus unless you come with, unless you come with schayra. It's like, again, to speak in a nice way of the Lashon Nekiyah, you have to be careful, but the Zohar Kaddish describes very often the inyan of dveikus is like a chazan and kala, and by a wedding, the minig is, it goes back to the times of Chazal, is that the kala wears tachshite kala, there's ornaments, there's rings, right? You give a kala a diamond ring and things like that. Those ornaments, precious metals and precious stones, are found all the way in the earth, right? So it's like, in order to experience shalom bayis, you have to first go through the avoida of finding those gems and those precious metals in the earth, cleaning it out, sifting it through, presenting it, and then that, and after going through that avoida, now there could be an experience of dveikus and yichud and shalom and b'chul. But there has to be that avoida birum first. And we mentioned last time, is that the avoida of tefillah is sort of that inyan of Shas, Tzloisa Shas Krova, we said. The Zohar says that the time of Davin is a time of warfare. It's a time of being Mavar those Beirurim, of going into Inyane Chayisha, things of this world, mentally, and trying to rescue the princess, trying to find precious gems from those places, trying to remind yourself in those places, about those places, that the Rabban Hashem is in charge. All that avayd of Shas, Tzloisa Shas Krova. Now what we saw, and that's what we saw last time, is that the first part of Lag B'Omer, which is the celebration of Torah's Rav Shimon, is the Chiddush, that what? That Torasai Umnasai, that Torah can be the same tool for one to do this job of Tefillah. That someone that is on the Madreg of Rav Shimon and his type of Torah, which we saw the Gemara Shabbos clarified and defined as Oisim Ritzayna Shalmakim, getting to that place of shirish of the root, you can actually fix all the problems of this world. You can do that avoid of birurim from a very nice, aesthetically pleasing place. And that's what we saw, that the chiddush of Pnimis HaTorah and the Torah of Reb Shimon is not to take away from the necessity of fixing this world, but you can fix this world without having to actually get your hands dirty. So you can be in a place of shirish, in a place of root, in a place that everything is coming from, and be Isaac in the tikkun of the olam from that exalted place. And we saw last week that's a primary, it's a fundamental teaching in Avodas Hashem, in the way the Baal Shem Tov, it's a primary zach. I've mentioned this many, many times, the mashal from the Baal Shem Tov of retreating to higher ground, right? That you retreat away from the space that's difficult and dangerous to get to higher ground, not to disengage from the battle, but to fight from a higher space. And so that's the avoida of Torah Reb Shimon. That's the yontif of Lag B'Omer as far as the Torah Reb Shimon is concerned, which is that someone that Torah can do both. Torah can obviously be an experience of dveikus. That's what Torah is, I guess, in its most natural setting. It's like yichud shein yichud kamayu. But Torah could also be the vehicle for the prerequisite avoida of birum and avoida. And that's what the Bavli says. The Rabbi Yochanan said that people like Rav Shimon, Bar Yochai, v'Chaverav, they don't stop their learning to daven because Terasa Umnasa, Torah can do that as well. And we saw last time that there's a number of milas with this type of approach, which is that, namely, you don't get your hands dirty. So it's nice for you. But also, you could actually rescue more. You could actually uplift more things because, like we saw from Pinchas Ben Yor, right? Pinchas Ben Yor is Isaac and Pinyin Shvuyim. There are certain kashas that Pinchas Ben Yor can't answer because that would force him to go too low. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai could answer in 24 different answers. And as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, in that way of going higher, is able to bring more of a tikkun even lower. So that's what we saw. That's what we saw last time. But that's all in the Bavli, or that's all the first part of Lag B'Omer. Then there's a giloy of Rav Shimon himself and what reality is bebechinas Rav Shimon. So I saw, let's put it this way, I just mentioned the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that, again, Rabbi Yochanan says, Meshum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that I don't stop my learning even for Kriyishma. So the Yerushalmi itself then goes on to ask the question, why not? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would have to stop his learning to do other mitzvahs, so why does he not stop his learning for Kriyishma? So the Yerushalmi gives an answer, And it's quoted in Tosfos and Bavli, you know, also, but this is what the Rishami says. That Rishim Reichai's, his response would be, why should I stop my learning for Kriya Shema? Zeshinun? Zeshinun. This is learning, this is learning. It's an afkamin. I have to stop my learning to Sheikh Luvaneser, because learning is now Luvaneser. Those are two different maisim, two different experiences, two different avoidas. But what learning and Kriya Shema, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's the Rishami's answer. The question is, what does it mean it's the same thing? It's a whole different Indian. What do you mean? Learning is the mitzvah of learning. Kriya Shema is be makabel on yourself al malchus shamayim. What do you mean? It means the same thing. Yeah, I understand that Kriya Shema technically is a pasuk in Torah, but so if you say Kriya Shema, you're also learning. That I get. But if you're stam learning, you know, Eilam Metzias, or you're learning Parshas Vayetze, that's Kriya Shema. And that's in fact why in the Bavli there's no such record of such a statement, because it's takapella. What do you mean? Zeshin and Zeshin, they're both learning. What does it mean? They're both the same thing. They're not both the same. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wouldn't say this to other people. When Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes this in the Yerushalmi, he doesn't say, it's not like Om Rabbi Yochanan. Kegayin Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chaveirav, they wouldn't stop their learning even for Kriya Shema. He doesn't say it like that. He says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Meshum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And what's an amazing thing, Rabbi Yochanan didn't live at the same time as Shem Bar Yochai. He didn't hear this from Shem Bar Yochai. This is a kabbal that he had from Shem Bar Yochai. But he goes out of his way to say it, Mishum Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, he's like, I can't say this. I can't tell you this. And I'm not passing this for anyone else. I'm just telling you what we have a kabbal from Rabbi Shimon himself. The Rabbi Shimon himself said such a statement that he wouldn't stop his own even for a Kriya Shema because it's all the same thing. What does it mean it's all the same thing? Whereas the kash is like this. What is it? What is Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema means yichud. Kriya Shema means dveikus. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. A Yid is saying at that moment of Shema Yisrael is that all there is the experience of me and the Rabbanu Shlomo. The problem is, we just got finished saying, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is Torah Semunasai. Torah does two things. There's two parts of Avodas Hashem. There's dveikus. There's oneness with Rabbanu Shlomo. But then there's all the hachana, all the prerequisite leading towards that. And we just got finished saying that the same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai doesn't interrupt his learning for davening. Why? Because Torah could accomplish that too. And then in the same breath, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, and I'm also not studying my learning for Kriya Shema, because Torah and Kriya Shema is the same thing. What do you mean it's the same thing? What is Torah? Torah is multifaceted. Kriya Shema is an expression of all there is one. How Torah is not saying that. Torah changes its identity. Sometimes it's dveikus. Sometimes it's birurim. Sometimes it's getting your hands dirty from a high space. Sometimes it's just escaping. The whole musig of Kriya Shema is an expression of oneness. And to say zeshin or zeshin and it's all the same thing, it's not true. L'chaira. Torah is not an expression of pure dveikus. Adrabba, Rabbi Shimon himself says, I'm putter from davening because Torah can accomplish that. So what's the oimik? What's Rabbi Shimon telling us? So this is the nekuda. What Rabbi Shimon is telling us is the following truth, is that the entire lens through which we were viewing this entire subject is how everyone else sees it except for Rabbi Shimon. In other words, the way we understand until now is that there's two separate avodas. There's two separate avodas. There's face-to-face with Rabbanu Shloilam. There's the experience of dveikus, of attachment. And then there is not face-to-face with Rabbanu Shloilam, like finding precious gems and precious metals under the earth and getting your hands dirty and pidyon shvuyim and b'chu, everything we've talked about before, happens to be Torah, this thing that's called Torah learning, is multifaceted. It sort of has two sides to it. So one second. So if Torah has two sides to it, then Torah is not Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is an expression of oneness, and Torah is, by its very definition, based on this paradigm, the opposite of oneness. It's two. It's anoichi v'lo'yilecha, right? That's what Torah is based on. The Gemara says that we have Targ Mitzvahs. 613 was given to us on Har Sinai, but the Gemara never and Chazal never break down for us when we're thinking of Targ Mitzvahs how to break it down. Is there a specific way to break it down? And during the times of the Ga'inim, there was all different opinions about how to think of Targ Mitzvahs, how to categorize it. To this day, what's well known and sort of been accepted by Klal Yisrael is that when you think of Torah, you think of it in two categories, Aseh and Lois Aseh. And that's rooted. It has its roots in Chazal, that the Chazal say in the Medrash that all of Asays are rooted in Anoichi, all Lois Asays are rooted in Loyelacha. It means that although it's interesting, right, the first word of Aseres Adibris is an Aleph, but Lamaisa, there's two parts to Torah. There is the side of Torah which is Anoichi Shem Lekecha, that's face to face. And there's the side of Torah which is Loyelacha, get, you know, fix the mess out there and fix things. Get your hands dirty, if need be, in order to fix things. Pidyon Shavuim v'chul. So, and then there's a pasuk that's called Krishma. Krishma is not, it doesn't capture the totality of Torah. Quite the opposite. The totality of Torah is more complicated than just Krishma. But this is the Chiddush of Rav Shimon. The Chiddush of Rav Shimon is that even when a Yid is doing the Avoda and getting involved with Birurim, that's also just a different form of Dveikus Tashem. Now, how so? What does that mean? So I've quoted this idea from Rav Tzadik before, and it's just it's a simple idea, but it really you have to shift the way you think of it. Rav Tzadik says like this. He says very often we think of life again just based on this paradigm. We think of like two things. There's moments when we're like struggling with the Yetzer, right? So the Yetzer attacks a person, right, and they have nisyonis. And so the person's thinking to themselves, in order for me to be able to get to that place of seeing Hashem, of being close to Hashem, I have to sort of wrestle with this Yetzer. I have to like get this out of the way, deal with this Avoida, right? And there's something productive in that, there's no question about it. But then once I finish this, now I can get to the point. And the Yetzer is sort of seen as just an obstacle in our path, stopping us from getting to the point, which is Dveikus. It says Rav Tzadik, a Jew shouldn't think of it like that. The way a Jew should think of it is like this. There are certain things that I hold very dear to me. There are certain things that I personally enjoy, things that I personally care about. It says Rav Tzadik, what's the greatest way of expressing your love to someone? What's the greatest way of expressing your attachment to someone? Mesiras Nefesh. If you're willing to give up something that you hold dear for the sake of someone else, that giving up is itself an unbelievable expression of attachment. Says Rav Tzadik, the way to think of an Nisayon is not the pshat that I'm wrestling with the Yetzirah and I get it out of the way and then I can go face Hashem. No. I'm being given now an opportunity to express my unbelievable attachment to God in the way that I'm going to something that I want to do or something that I don't want to do, whatever the matzav is. And I am going to be Meiser Nefesh for the Rabbanu Shalom's sake. I'm not wrestling with the Yetzirah. I am going through the Avod of Beirurim, but the Avod of Beirurim fundamentally boils down to Mesiras Nefesh. If it's finally boiling down to Mesiras Nefesh, it means, and what is it in its root, in its essence? Me giving myself over to Rabbanu Shalom, and the Rabbanu Shalom, and every relationship, any experience of Dveikus is, I give myself over to the one that I love, and the one that I love gives himself over to me. And that's Anila Doidiv Doidili. So we think it's like this. There's Dveikus, and that's called Anila Doidiv Doidili. And before I get to that place of Anila Doidili, then I have to just go, I have to like wrestle all the demons and get rid of them. No. So that's what Tzadik Fakir, what do you mean you're talking about? What does it mean, Anila Doidi? The expression of Anila Doidi is the fact that when I wrestle with my eight Tzaras, the Avoda Birurim is itself an expression. It is part of the experience of Dveikus. How do I give myself over to Rabbanu Shalom? How do I capture or concretize my Dveikus to Hashem? The best way to do that is through Mesiras Nefesh. And see, this nekuda of viewing the Avodah of Birurim is itself part of the Yichud process, is deeply bound to the Pnimius and the Pnimius of Taurus Rabbi Akiva. Right? So he said, like, the first thing is Taurus Rav Shimon and Taurus Rabbi Akiva. The truth is, Taurus Rabbi Akiva was a Torah that clearly, Bashkach HaPratis, had to come into the world through Mesiras Nefesh. So Rabbi Akiva's Torah comes with literal Mesiras Nefesh. I mean, 24,000 students, himself, Rabbi Akiva himself, like, redefining his life constantly, always thinking about when I'm going to die, Al-Kiddush Hashem. For some reason, the Torah of Rabbi Akiva is a Torah that demands Mesiras Nefesh. Rav Shimon is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and what's ironic is that the last Torah on Rav Shimon's mouth was based on a pasuk, Lo yameisim yaluka. Lo yameisim yaluka. V'lo kirei tiduma. Anachnu nevarachka, matvar olam. And it goes on, literally the last the whole Torah of Reb Shimon is talking about this inyan that Hashem is alive, and therefore the Ovdei Hashem have to be alive. And the last pasuk on his mouth was Kisham Tziva Hashem Es Abracha Chayim. And Rabbi Abba even records in the Zohar because Rabbi says that he was writing as Reb Shimon was talking, and Reb Shimon said Kisham Tziva Hashem Es Abracha Es Abracha. And Rabbi Abba was waiting to write the word Chaim. He didn't hear the word Chaim. And he wasn't looking at Rabbi Shimon, because he couldn't look at Rabbi Shimon. But it went on for a few seconds without the word Chaim, until they began to realize that something happened, and Rabbi Shimon was nostalgic. And Abaskal came out and said, Rabbi Shimon, you're mezuman l'chayim. So it's like this inyan of Chaim, which is so ironic, because the whole Torah of Rabbi Kiva is a Torah of Mesiras Nefesh. And the Torah of Rabbi Shimon seems to be a Torah of being alive. So which one is it? So he says Rav Shimon is different than Rabbi Kiva. It's not true. Rav Shimon said that his Torah is the essence of Torah's Rabbi Kiva. The answer is that there's a Mesiras Nefesh in Rabbi Kiva's version, which is a Mesiras Nefesh that translates in death. But then there's a Mesiras Nefesh in Rabbi Kiva's version, in Rav Shimon's version, which translates as the essence of life. Because what is Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh could also be seen as an expression of Yichud, or Dveikus. And there's nothing, and Dveikus means being alive. Dveikus results in more life. And so the whole view of Reb Shimon is to see Avodas HaBirurim as part and parcel of the Avodah of Yichud. Therefore, that same Torah, which is true, has both sides to it. There's an Asay and a Lois Asay. The Torah in its totality speaks of all different Avodas. Avodah we would call Dveikus and Avodah we would call Birurim. But says Reb Shimon, Zeh Shinan v'Zeh Shinan, it's all creation, it's all Yichud. It's all one. It's Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. There is no difference between this experience and that experience because all of it is the avoid of Mesiras Nefesh. So one part. Sometimes it's the Rabbanu Shalom giving himself, and sometimes it's us giving ourselves the Rabbanu Shalom. But it's all ultimately the same experience. This is again. This is going back. This is why it's Davka. It's Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that can say this. You can't say this with anyone else. This is why the Gemara. So what does the Yerushalmi say? Oh, that statement of Rav Shimon, that everything is part of that yichud, that Torah itself, which despite the fact that it accomplishes multiple things at the same time, that when you're learning, there's a side of your learning which is being masak in the lowest worlds, and there's a part of your learning which is allowing you to be in a higher place. So it means that Torah learning itself is not one, but says Rav Shimon, but that itself is also one. That is a statement that fits very well with what Rabbi Shimon said that if he was on our Sinai, he would ask the Rabbanu Shalom that it should be one mouth just for a Torah. It should be one mouth just for a Torah. Because that's the secret of Rabbi Shimon. The one mouth just for a Torah is an expression that Torah is Yichud. That Torah is oneness. So to say, since Torah is oneness, so to have the one mouth that speaks Torah and also speaks other things, it's like taking away from the Yichud of the experience of Torah. Says Rav Shimon, I would have asked for two mouths. One mouth, that's just pure Torah, because Torah is one. So for the vehicle to express Torah to be a vehicle, which is a mouth that says many things, it takes it away. Indicating that Torah is Kriyishma. Kriyishma is Torah, it's Hainuach. Now let's go further. This is hinted, I think, in that Maisa of the second part of the story. Again, the first Torah, the Torah of Rav Shimon, again, the idea that you can fix low places from being on high, that's what he said to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, that any of your kashas I can answer in 24 ways. But the second inyan, which is that fixing itself, being involved in the Avodah Birurim, is itself Dveikus, is itself Yichud, that Torah, the multiple Avodahs that are going on, that seem to be opposite from each other in Torah, is itself one. That you see in the next part of the story. What was the next part of the story? Again, that he's Matar, the road for Tveria. So like I said, in the Bavli, the focus is on the Kahanim. Now the truth is, Bechlal, that fits with the whole mode of the Bavli, which the Bavli is never records the statement of Reb Shimon that Torah is the same thing as Kriyishma. So the Bavli doesn't have that this other side. So when the Bavli views that story, what's the point of the story? To help Kahanim. Who are Kahanim? Well, Kahanim vis-a-vis Yisraelim. Yisraelim are the ones that are in this world. Everyone has to work. Everyone has to work. There's no option not. The question is, what's your arena? So Yisraelim are Isaac down here to fix, and the Kahanim are Chel Hashem, like the Rambam says in the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, and they're able to fix the world from on high. They're Rav Shimon Dik. Rav Shimon is called the Kohen Gadol. right? Sits Nezer HaKadosh. Rav Shimon is like the Kohen Gadol, the Kodesh HaKadosh. So that when in the Bavli's view, what's the mile of Lagma? What's the mile of Rav Shimon? The Torah of Rav Shimon. What's the Torah of Rav Shimon? That you can fix everything from still being on high. So you don't have to. So that and that's the story in the Bavli, which is bringing a tikkun, bringing some level of comfort to Kahanim. That instead of the Kahanim having to circumvent v'chula, Rav Shimon gives them like you could actually, like you could there's, to give them more comfort, to give them more stability in the world. That there's an avodah called Kahanim, and that fits with the Bavli. But like I said, the Rishami doesn't focus at all on the fact that this helps Kahanim. The focus is being metayer the city of Tveria. What's the city of Tveria? So the Gemara Megillah, you follow this? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a Gemara, I mean, and Isaac is. Okay. So the, okay, so when I asked that question, I don't really, it's not going to change anything, I'm just saying. But anyway, there's a Gemara in Megillah. And I give him a little bit off. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara is talking about, it's interesting, it's also Rabbi Yochanan over there, Rabbi Yochanan and Rava. The Gemara says that the Gemara is talking about different names for the city of Tveria. The name of Tveria, the Gemara is figuring out what Tveria, why is it called Tveria, and also other names that Tveria might have. So the Gemara says, for example, that another name of Tveria is Rekes. Rabbi Yochanan says another name of Tveria is Rekes. Why? So the word Rekes has to do with the hot springs of Tveria. And this is like what's, you know, special about Tveria, it's hot springs. Okay. The Gemara says another aspect of Tveria, you know why it's called Tveria? Because it's the Tibur of Eretz Yisrael. It's the belly button of Eretz. It's right in the middle. It's the center of Eretz Yisrael, which is interesting. Like, that's not, you know, but the way Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be, with the biblical borders, Tveria is in the middle. What's a hot, you know, hot springs? With hot springs is there's fire and there's water, and when they meet, that's called a hot spring. Tveria means in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean, the middle? The middle means there's that which is below and that which is above. And what unites the two, that's called Tveria. The secret of Tveria is this inyan, is that there's an avoida that was until now associated with below, which is Birura. Getting your hands dirty. And then, okay, there's an inyan of Kahana, they can do it, but from a nice place. And then there's an experience that's called above, that's called Yichud. The Chiddush of Reb Shimon himself is that he's metar Tveria, is that he's masaking Tveria. He brings out this inyan of a yichud, of that which unites below and below. That the avoida below and the avoida below of above are all the same. That's why, in fact, it's interesting. In the Yerushalmi, there's a little addition to the story. What's fascinating is that the story of Lag Boimer, of the whole the cave that the Bavli brings, is much more lengthy than the Yerushalmi, which is usually the way it is. Bavli is usually much more lengthy than Yerushalmi generally. But there's one particular part of the story, not the only, there's two parts of the story, but for our purposes right now, there's one part of the story that the Yerushalmi brings down, the Bavli doesn't. And what is that? So Yerushalmi says that after Rav Shimon was metar this place that Kahanim should go and the whole city should become tar, v'chulu. So the Yerushalmi says there was a kusi, there was a guy, whatever, not Bikiris, and he heard about what Rav Shimon did, and he wants to, he said, oh, let me make fun of it, play a trick. So he says, the Yerushalmi says, so he took a corpse, he took a dead body, and in the middle of the night, he buried it, you know, in the middle of the path. And so the next morning, he's going to come. Everyone's going to say, oh, you see, Rav Shimon missed the spot, you know what I mean? So the whole thing was not, was incomplete. So Rav Shimon, the Yerushalmi says, Rav Shimon knew what he's trying to do. And so Rav Shimon said the following sentence. He said, that which is above should go below, and that which is below should go above. Meaning, the person that was above, this kusi, should go below, he should die. And the person that he buried that's below should go above, he should be Mechayim Mason. Wow. And this person came back to life and he walked back to his, you know, kever he was supposed to be, and that's where he died. But this statement, it's a funny, why is Rav Shimon to say like that? Kilu, they're totally zebazeh. But that was a statement that Rav Shimon said in the version of Yerushalmi, that which is above should go below, that which is below should go above. That's the site, that's what Rav Shimon is saying. That's the inyan. Now let's go deeper than this. Let's go deeper. Once we have this nekuda, that the experience of Berurim is itself part of the Dveikus, then now we can come to an amazing point, which is that there, that based on this, there's actually a Mila in being Isaac below. You see, if the entire purpose, if the place of Dveikus, you know, If the place of dveikus is above, and below is only the place of the hachana and getting, you know, things that you have to take care of, then avada, then if you could avoid it, matov manoyim. If you have to go through that process of birurim. But if you could be like a kohen, you could be like Taurus Rav Shimon, and do it from a high place without getting hands dirty, matov manoyim. But once it becomes clear that what, that the experience of avodas birurim is an act of mesiras nefesh, and an act of mesiras nefesh means it itself is an expression of dveikus, then now when a person is given that portion in life to be Isaac below, then now you're given an opportunity to expand the domain of dveikus, and you are able to express Hashem Echad even in a place that until now would seem to be the opposite of Hashem's Echad. That expansion of the expansion of that place of Achdus Hashem is an actual that's productive. So what comes out is based on this, the perspective of Yishalmi, it comes out is that Avada, there's a Mila in the Torah of Shimon, in Terasim Nasai, in fixing things from a high place. Yeah, we spoke about last week, for sure there's Milas in that. But not to forget that there is Taka Milas in being Isaac below, because you're expanding the domain of Hashem Echad. You're proclaiming that Dveikus B'Hashem can exist down here, and this place, with all of its craziness, doesn't interrupt the presence of Hashem. Ad kedei kach, that I could actually experience face to face with God and experience dveikus in this crazy place. That's a to a certain degree a much deeper revelation. Now this therefore takes us back to the famous part of the story of the cave, which is the two times where Shimon left the cave. The first time we know Shimon's in the cave for 12 years. He leaves the cave. And he looks, everyone's being Isaac and Chayisha, plowing, sowing, v'chulu, and he burns everything up. And the Rav Shimon says, I didn't take you out to destroy the world, go back in. So they go in for 12 months, and they come back out, and they're, you know, sort of, you know, getting used to things, until finally they see, everyone knows the story, right? The Zakin that's running with two Adasim before Shabbos, Zachar and Shomer, Ru'u kama chaviv v'mitzvah Yisrael, nesiyashu daitan. So everyone asks the Kasha, what happened during those 12 months? What's the chilik? So maybe you can say it like this. During the first 12 years, the Avodah of Lag B'Omer, the Avodah of Reb Shimon, was the first part of Lag B'Omer, was to clarify the Torah of Reb Shimon. The Torah of Reb Shimon is a Torah that reveals that there's still such a thing that's called Birum, which is not Dveikus, but you could do it in a higher place. So Reb Shimon comes out and he sees people like Chaval Azman. Like, you, whatever you're accomplishing now, you can do better, and you can do higher from being Isaac and Chai Olam. So do that. What are you doing? So Hashem's very upset. So Hashem sends him back in. Maybe, perhaps, you can say it was during those 12 years that the Bavli is correct, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would taka say Krishma in the cave. He wouldn't daven, but he would say Krishma. The next 12 months, what was the gili over there? The next 12 months was this higher gili of Rav Shimon himself, of Rav Shimon not interrupting his learning even for Krishma. Even for Krishma, the gilui that even Berurim is itself an experience of Dveikus, and therefore when it comes out, people that are Isaac in that Dveikus in a low place from this world, to a certain degree are accomplishing something that cannot be accomplished from a high place. And that's captured by that old Yid running with two Adasim, Zach V'Shomer. We spoke about that Inyan, why Zach V'Shomer and other times. But that Inyan of Chavivas HaMitzvahs, of a Mitzvahs Maisius, of physical Mitzvahs, and the Chavivas, the love that comes by a Yid that was held back from doing Avodas Hashem for 6 days, and now he's finally able to do it. There's an intensity in that Ahava, there's an intensity in that Dveikus, that Dafka comes from the fact that it's low. Then let me, and maybe perhaps it was during those 12 months, that's why the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan maybe are not austere to each other. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said both things. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I wouldn't stop my learning to daven, but I would stop my learning for Krishma. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also said, I wouldn't stop my learning even for Krishma. How you have both? Maybe this is the chiluk. The first 12 years, he wouldn't stop for davening, but he would stop for Krishma. The second set of 12 months, he wouldn't stop his learning even for Krishma. Now, where am I coming from? I wouldn't make this up. I am a little bit, but you know, not completely. There's a Torah from the Ramchal. It's very, very quickly. But the Ramchal says like this. The Ramchal in Adar B'Marim talks about the Indian of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the first 12 years and then the Chiddush of the 12 months. So he says like this. He says, the avodah of Rav Shimon b'chlal in the cave was to unite three shemes hakdoshim. Three shemes. Yudkip Havaya Eka Adnai. Or Eka Havaya Adnai. Those three shemes hakdoshim. Each one of those names, Yudkip Vavke, Eka, and Adnai, each one is four letters. 4 times 3 is 12. So the avoid over here is to unite those three shemes hakdoshim. Now, the Ramchal says, the gematria of all those three names together, Yudkei Vavkei, Eke, and Adnai, is 112. The same gematria as the word Baki, the same gematria as the word Yavik. Right? Remember, Yaakov Avinu, before he's about to wrestle with Malchav Esav, Vayavar is Mavar Yavik. He crosses over the stream of Yavik. Says the Ramchal, that's the site of Yavik. Now, the Ramchal then goes further. The gematria of the Shemus is Yabik, and the Rosh Tevis of Yabik, Yud Beis Kuf, which 112, Yud Beis Kuf, is Rosh Tevis Yichud Bracha Kedusha. Yichud Bracha Kedusha. Says the Ramchal like this. The Avoida of the first 12 years was to bring a Ha'ara, to bring an illumination of Yichud into Bracha Kedusha. So there's the primary thing is Bracha and Kedusha. Yichud is still separate, but to be mamshech, to bring ha'ara of yichud into bracha and kedusha. Said the Ramchal, but that was the first 12 years. Once it's the second time of the 12 months, then it's not just bringing a ha'ara of yichud into bracha and kedusha, it's mamish, the yichud should be mamish a part of it. Adkan, that's what Ramchal says. So what does that mean for us? So maybe perhaps we can translate it in this way. Was yichud bracha and kedusha? Bracha and kedusha means the two avodas that we were talking about before. Bracha means bracha. Chazal say a lashon that bracha connotes an area that there might be a potential klala. I mean, bracha means a person wants a bracha to be matzliach. So brachas means that you're being Isaac in avoda. You're in this world a makim sakana. You a place that you need to be matzliach in your avoda. So you get a bracha. What is Kedusha? That's Avodah Birur, that's below. Mm-hmm. What's Avodah, what's Kedusha? Kedusha means Mufrash, Muvdal. Kedusha means that which is otherworldly, transcendent. That's above. The Chiddush, in the first 12 years, there was still a chilik between above and below. There was still a chilik between Bracha and Kedusha. Yichud, there was a Ha'ara of Yichud. It's a Ha'ara of Yichud. There's an influence of Yichud. Akadekach, that you don't have to do that was clarified during those 12 years is that which is below, you could accomplish that from above. But it's still not the same thing. And therefore, again, during that time, he's mafsik for Kriyishma, because it's still not one. And when he comes out of the cave then, he's still burning things up, because it's like chava, people are just wasting it, like you could do a better job from above. But then the next 12 months come, the next 12 months is mamish bringing yichud into bracha kedusha. That's mamish. That it is yichud, it's kriyishma mamish. During those 12 months, perhaps he's not mafsik even for kriyishma, and therefore dafka at that when he leaves that cave, then he's nesiash v'daita erul kamachaviv mitzvah yisrael. And so this is specifically the Rishami captures this. The Bavli not as much. Like I said, the Bavli not as much. The Rishami captures this with the Tahara of Tveria, and that Indian of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai saying that which is above should go below, that which is below should go above. Bechlal, this is one of the differences between Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Bavli is the Bechinas Golas, and Golas is always this element of disconnect. Yerushalmi is Bechinas Geula. Geula always means unity. So this is Dafka expressed in Yerushalmi. But what comes out is, and again, this is the Oymik of Lag Boimer. The simple side of Lag Boimer is like celebrating Kabbalah, and Mekubalim having their dances. That's simple. The Iker Pnimius of Lag Boimer is that it's a yontif celebrating Reb Shimon Bar Yochai as he sees things, and the vantage point of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is this vantage point of where there is no chiluk between bracha and kedusha. It is haynu hach. It is yichud. All it is yichud. And that vantage point, which you see even after the 12 months, was still the vantage point of Reb Shimon himself, because Reb Elazar still didn't have the Yishuv Adas 100%. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had to tell him, like it's okay. But on his own, Rabbi Elazar couldn't find the Yishuv. That's only Rabbi Shimon did. This is a Rabbi Shimon Dekinyan. And so this is the ultimate celebration of Lag BaOmer, is to realize that whenever a person has Nisyonis in this world from any Yetzara, don't think of it as you're struggling with the Yetzara and you have to overcome that in order to eventually get to the Rabbanu Shalom. No. This is your moment to give of yourself, to express your Mesiras Nefesh, to bring Dveikus to this lower world and to show how that which is above is below, that which is below is above. Fire and water can be the same. Tveria is that middle section. The Gemara says another reason why it's called Tveria is because Riyasa Toiva, it has beautiful vistas, it beautiful sights. The oimik of that, the word, the letter Tes, Toiv is good. The Zohar says Toiv means a good, but it's Tuve Ganes Begave, a hidden goodness. A hidden goodness. Riyasa Toiva. I mean, the sight of Tveri is that which looks below and looks disconnected, it's Yichud. It's Yichud. It's good. The sharish of the word good is, it goes back to the first day of creation when Hashem created the light that went from one end of the universe to the other, that united all extremes. That's the sight, really the sight of Lag BaOmer. The avodah of Lag BaOmer, again, this is something that Taras of Al Shem Tov really drives home, which is B'chol Derechecha De'eyu, and all your experiences, that itself can be an experience of Dveikus, and it's rooted in this side of Lag BaOmer. So Hashem should help us, Taka, we should be zeicha to experience Lag BaOmer, the light of Lag BaOmer, the way it's supposed to be, but Pnimius Alei, Pnimius Nefesh, in such a way that everything will be Nizgal as Mamish, Yichud Hashem, Kipshutai Mamish. If there's a quick minyan, let's...